We begin this week with an emerging field of cancer research, immunotherapy. Like a lot of new areas of science, people trying to explain it have come up with a lot of metaphors to help us non-scientists understand both what's happening and why it's so important. So far in immuno-oncology, we've encountered metaphors about trains, airport security systems, and even secret agents. So we sat down with independent producer Peter Droppert, who's been reporting a lot on immuno-oncology lately, to walk us through the basics of this growing field. Peter Droppert, welcome to Sound Medicine. It is good to talk with you.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
You've been reporting in the area of immuno-oncology for some time now. Why do you think it's so important?
Well, I think cancer touches the lives of so many people that it's a fascinating topic, especially in light of the scientific developments that are taking place. And what's really exciting me is the ability to harness the body's immune system in the fight against cancer. And that's what we know as cancer immunotherapy, immuno-oncology. It's the hottest area in drug development and where the most progress is currently being made.
So that's why you just attended the annual meeting of the Society for Immunotherapy of Cancer. What were the doctors and researchers there most excited about?
One of the really promising areas is called checkpoint inhibition. So if you imagine that the T cells that are the foot soldiers that kill cancer cells, they are sometimes what's called inhibited. Their actions are stunted by the cancer cells. And what is taking place is that you've now got new drugs in development that can basically release the brake on these T cells so that they can fight the cancer. So what's really exciting is we're seeing progress being made in what's called PD-1, PD-L1 inhibition. So if you imagine sort of two coaches in a train which link together, that's what happens between PD-L1 on a cancer cell and PD-1 on a T cell. So it basically stops the T cell from being as effective as it would do. And so if you target the receptor PD-1 or you target PD-L1, so you put basically a block on either end of that, then you can stop the two from coupling. And what that means is effectively you can make the T cells more effective in their fight against cancer. And that's one of the exciting areas that's taking place with several drugs in development. Several drugs have received breakthrough therapy designation from the FDA, and it's really providing some really stunning results.
This is highly technical material, and you just explained it beautifully. And you also found one particular doctor who made it all crystal clear. Tell us about him.
At the meeting, I interviewed Dr. Daniel Chen, who's a cancer doctor, a medical oncologist, who's also a cancer immunotherapy scientist. And he currently works as the franchise leader in cancer immunotherapy at Genentech in San Francisco. And what they've done is put together a really, really cool video, which shows for the average person in a very humorous and entertaining way, but highly educational, you know, how the checkpoint inhibitors work. And that was what brought him, amongst other things, to my attention.
So our immune system, we're born with it. It protects us from viruses, from bacteria. And as it turns out, our immune system can also help fight things like cancer. And the reason for that is cancer, much like a virus, can look different than the normal cells of your body. And so when your immune system can detect that, they can then specifically seek out those abnormal cancer cells and kill them. What cancer immunotherapy does is it allows your immune system to do a better job fighting against cancer, because cancer has its own ways of shutting down the immune system. And so with these new therapies, what we're seeing is you can take away the things that cancer does to fight off the immune system. And in some cases, the immune system then really becomes very active and can go out and kill those cancer cells. One of the things that makes us all excited is when that happens, patients that otherwise may have terminal cancer, not only do their cancers start to shrink, they can go away for a long time. And in the best cases, we hope the cancer actually never comes back.
So in terms of the promise of this, can you tell a little bit about how it actually works? You know, is it like the Star Trek movie, we've got this Klingon shield and we're going to remove the shield and cloak the Klingons? Is that kind of a visual metaphor that you'd have in mind, or do you have a better one to offer?
So I like the Klingon shield metaphor. One of the ways we've looked at it is that your immune system is a lot like the security checkpoint at an airport. And at that security checkpoint, it's scanning your body, looking at normal cells and looking for the presence of abnormal cells. Cancer falls into that abnormal cell type that your security checkpoint is looking for, and that's what your immune system is doing. So when it sees it, it can then pull that cancer cell out or pull out a virus-infected cell and get rid of it. Cancer has a way of essentially donning a disguise. It has a way to hide from that security checkpoint. And molecules like PD-L1 seem to do this. So one of the ways that we've gone about trying to treat patients now is to recognize that cancer cells may have this disguise and essentially take away this disguise. And when you do that, you can see just some very dramatic responses where it's that aha moment. The immune system suddenly sees that there was a disguised cancer cell sitting in front of it, and when that disguise disappears, it will go and get that cancer cell and kill that cancer cell.
So is this going to be a cure for cancer?
Well, as oncologists, we are always shy to use the word cure, but I think that really is what we're trying to do in this field. We're trying to see if we can cure cancer using the immune system.
What have been some of the results to date that have created this excitement?
So a number of the recent drugs in this area, these cancer immunotherapy drugs, drugs like antibodies against PD-L1, against PD-1, and against CTLA-4, these drugs have led to responses that you can very clearly see in our patients. And in some cases, these patients are out years without their tumors growing.
And of these patients who otherwise would have died?
It's harder to know that on an individual patient basis, but it's true. As an oncologist, when you see these patients, it's surprising how long they're alive, and in some cases, alive without cancer.
And how does it feel to sort of see dramatic results? I know you've been involved with clinical trials.
So intellectually, it's very exciting because it's a new field of science, really. We are uncovering things that we didn't understand before. But I think even more importantly, as an oncologist, as a doctor, this means a lot. These are people's lives that you feel like you can change. You can give them their lives back.
So there are some cancers that are more favorable for this approach.
Yeah, so we don't know yet. What we've seen in the early studies is that patients with many different tumor types can respond to this approach. Now, it may be that certain tumor types, whether we're talking about lung cancer or melanoma or kidney cancer, may respond better to these therapies than some other cancer types, but that's still under investigation.
Why doesn't everybody respond? It's maybe 25-30%, and how do we increase that percentage?
We certainly wish every patient responded to cancer immunotherapy. We haven't seen that in all patients treated yet, and some of it may have to do with a patient's underlying cancer type, and some of it may have to do with a patient's underlying immune system itself. So right now, what we're trying to do is, for the patients that seem to be responding really well, they seem to be doing great just with a single drug. But we think that for those patients that don't seem to respond particularly well to just a single drug, we may be able to identify them, and we're working very hard on figuring out how we might be able to sensitize that tumor so that they will respond to cancer immunotherapy.
So what you're suggesting is that we can maybe identify who might respond and also in those tumors somehow make them more receptive to the immunotherapy. Is that the idea?
That's exactly right. So figure out the people that are going to do great just with a single cancer immunotherapy. But for the ones that you identify that maybe won't do quite as well with a single immunotherapy, find ways where you can essentially combine two different drugs, one drug that's going to sensitize the tumor and generate that strong immune response, and the other one allow the immune response to do its job and kill the cancer. I think at the end of the day, we all know that what we're trying to do here is see if we can take patients who otherwise have terminal cancer and try to generate cures for them. I think that's the real promise of cancer immunotherapy. I think that there's a lot of emerging science, and so what you have are many scientists and many doctors coming together trying to figure out the best way to treat these patients with cancer immunotherapy.
So what I heard Dr. Chen say, it sounds like this really 1-2 punch using immunotherapy along with other drugs will be really the biggest hope for the future. Am I clear in understanding it that way?
I think you are, Barbara. I think what we're seeing throughout cancer drug development, and not just in immunotherapy, is the power of combinations, because really what we're looking for is trying to get the most effective treatments, and often one treatment alone is not enough. So for example, in the field of immunotherapy, we have checkpoint inhibitors that Dr. Chen talked about, which provide a break to the immune system, but we also need to stimulate it, and so other combination therapies may come along that we can use to do that. That could be cancer vaccines, that could be other receptors on the T cell. There are drugs in development which provide put the pedal on the gas, as they say, which accelerate the immune response. And we're also seeing that in other areas of cancer drug development as well, where we often find resistance setting in to therapies. And if you think of cancer trying to find escape mechanisms to avoid being killed, often you need to block those off by having multiple pathways. And that's why combinations across the whole field of cancer drug development is really the future in having one or two drugs or therapies that provide maximal efficacy. And that's where people are working on at the moment in trying to understand the science and the basic biology that drives rational combination strategies that will provide the longest lasting responses for the most people.
And what are the biggest obstacles that you see to making progress in immunotherapy?
Most of the developments are taking place in the basic sciences. So really our understanding of cancer biology, of cell signaling, and how cancer works at the cellular molecular level, that's really driving further down what pharmaceutical biotech companies will do in terms of creating drugs and their understanding. So really, we need to make sure that we're funding basic research. For example, the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, has had their funding basically maintained level for the last several years, which has actually resulted in inflationary terms with fewer grants being given to researchers, more competition for grants, and a lot of basic research getting unfunded and not being done. And I think that's one of the major limitations that we'll see. And where everybody who has an interest in cancer drug development and fighting cancer should be encouraging the funding of basic research. And I think that's probably one of the limitations.
So with the tightening of research dollars available, let's talk a little bit about a timeline here. I mean, what was the consensus at the meeting about when immunotherapy and all the different treatment options might actually, you know, go mainstream?
Well, I think we already are on some level. We already have reached mainstream. Only a few months ago in September, the Food and Drug Administration approved the first PD-1 inhibitor, pembrolizumab, from Merck in melanoma. We've got multiple other PD-1, PD-L1 checkpoint inhibitors in drug development in late-stage trials or coming through the drug development pipeline. I heard it mentioned earlier this year that we've seen great results really in melanoma and skin cancer, and the revolution is already spreading out from melanoma into other tumor types like renal cancer, lung cancer, bladder cancer, where we're seeing this immunotherapy strategy of checkpoint inhibitors releasing the brake on T cells, creating, you know, immune responses from the body that have a real big impact on a sizable number of patients. So I think we're already seeing that, and I think what we'll see in the future over the course of a year is we'll see more data being presented at scientific meetings, and we're probably most likely start to see more approvals of these new agents by Food and Drug Administration and others as the data matures, as regulatory submissions get approved, and they're shown to be really safe and effective.
Well, Peter Drawbert, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Peter Drawbert is a reporter and producer based in Miami. He also writes the Biotech Strategy blog, which we will link to our website. And Peter spoke with Dr. Daniel Chen. He's an adjunct professor at Stanford and the Cancer Immunotherapy Franchise Head at Genentech in San Francisco. A disclosure here, Genentech is owned by Roche, which is one of the funders of Sound Medicine. We've posted a terrific YouTube video that Dr. Chen made, which explains immune therapy very clearly. You can find it by going to our website, soundmedicine.org.
Sound Medicine's coverage of advances in cancer research and therapies is presented in part by Roche Diagnostics, doing now what patients need next.